from Sandquist Fields. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
It's time to talk softball with the man, the myth, the legend, Duke Weisbrod. And also, what's his name? Chris Fernanda. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Cambridge Isanti Softball Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome to episode 4 of the Cambridge Isanti Softball Podcast. This is Chris, and we've got Duke back tonight. Duke, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing fine, Dr. V. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Glad to have you back. We had a great episode last time with Nick and Ben Wilson, but it is good to have you back.
Thank you.
A lot going on this episode, so we're going to preview the 2023 Tournament of Champions, or the TOC as we like to call it. We're going to recap the Summer League's tourneys and highlight some of the accomplishments by local players and teams. Like I said, there's a ton to cover, so before we get started, a little bit of housekeeping. We're going to start putting, actually starting with the last episode, we're putting the start times of different segments on the show description. So we know there's a lot that we're going to cover, different leagues and all that. If there's certain areas of interest for you, you can just find the time on the show description and go to that spot. And if there's stuff covering leagues or whatever that you don't care about, hey, no worries. We value your time. Go ahead and skip on to the appropriate time. So with all that said, let's get started. So first thing I want to cover is just kind of some news regarding the park. And Duke, you had something to say about the concessions?
I did. We've been working for some time without any Wi-Fi out there. I know there's certain Verizon hotspots and so on, but we wanted to get a good system in place. And of course, with the help of Al at First Bank and Trust, we have a card machine now. I'm not sure how to use it, but I don't need to know how to use it.
Right.
But it is convenient for the customer, and it's been working out fine. So we appreciate that. I haven't gotten an update from the city. There's a tremendous amount of infrastructure development going on in the city, and every time there is a big, big project, those developers are required to put some money in the park dedication fees. And I believe there's still a sales tax where there's $1 million a year that's used on the new library and the park. So during last year, Chris, if you remember right, in 2022, the lights were in the neighborhood of $380,000 on those two fields. We need those lights. We desperately need those lights. And I know the city's doing everything they can to make that happen. But our leagues aren't getting any smaller. We've got nearly 100 teams counting the Damsel Church League. So with a light curfew of 10:15, if we had lights, that's going to help. But as far as the park goes, it's greening up. Thank God we got some rain. I know during the Classic I was less than happy, but what do you do? If it's going to be dry, it's going to be dry. But it's starting to green up, and we did a lot of work on the infields last week, so the park should be in tremendous shape for the fall leagues and the TOC. And Sober Draft later on in September, and then Softball Sunday. And like I say, it took most of the year to get it in shape, but we're there. Just moving along here, just some local connections here. It's been reported that Duck Tech won the USA State Open Tournament, and that is the fourth year in a row, Dr. V. That's impressive. Not quite as big as it used to be, but you still got to show up, and you still got to beat some good teams. And talking about a local connection, we call them Team Cambers within a team of Duck Tech, and of course, that's Jake Freeman, Cody Kelsa, and Aaron Schumacher. By the way, Chris, I think you're aware that Aaron and Christina, we call her C, are parents to two beautiful little twins, a daughter and a son who will be under the watchful eye of Big Brother Maverick. So they are all excited. I think those kids actually went for a ride for their first softball tournament down at Treasure Island where Aaron was playing.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah, that's great. Congratulations to both. I mean, that's really great.
Yep, and I got them on my radar because Aaron and C have been played on my North Branch Chevrolet Corec team, and they've been a big part of it. And C plays in the Women's League, and Aaron plays, of course, for Duck Tech and S&I Drywall. But they live west of Cambridge, and I've been bugging them hard about, you're in the Cambridge School District, right? Because I'd love to see those kids play basketball for Cambridge, but I got a hunch I'm not going to win there. I think they're going to end up going to Princeton. But, you know, Christina was a 1,000-point scorer up at Ogilvy in girls basketball. And Aaron is about as smooth as they get. If you've ever watched a guy swing a bat, and it's just effortless, and he puts the ball right exactly where he wants to. I mean, his parents, Julie and Ed, still are. Julie's playing quite a bit yet, but they're great hitters. So congratulations to the Schumachers.
Back to that tournament, I thought I'd heard that Duck Tech had knocked off Comatose today. Is that accurate? Yeah.
Yep, it was actually yesterday. It was a one-day at Treasure Island. But sure. I think they beat them early in the tournament, and I think they beat them again. And there
that's
was some strong...
That's really impressive. I mean, that's
awesome. Absolutely. Comatose, in my mind, is you know, probably the strongest team in the Midwest. But Duck Tech has, like I say, they four-peated. So these guys get hot at the right time of year, and I would imagine they're going to... Oklahoma City, I think, probably Labor Day weekend, I believe. But
okay, and this is a newbie question, of course. But is Oklahoma City, isn't that the big tournament? Am I understanding that correctly?
That is the base of USA Softball, which of course is ASA at one time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are those stadiums where they've got different stadiums down there for different levels of ball. But I think the NCAA women's. Which is a great tournament. Mm-hmm. That's where that's played. And they've been down there before and had a blast down there. So,
okay. Well, congratulations again to those guys. That's big time. So that's awesome. So congratulations.
And then a shout out to the Beavers from the Cambridge League. They won the Stacey Women's Tournament, which I think was about 12 teams. Tried to get that crew to play in the state tournament coming up this next weekend or the TOC, but people are busy. They would have been a good fit.
So it's time to talk summer leagues. As I said before, ladies first always. So we're going to start off with the Women's League. Chaos won the league with a 22-2 record, followed by last year's champion, the Low Draft Picks, who finished second at 20-4. And then the Misfits passed up a couple teams over the past month of the season to finish third with a record of 15-9. What stood out to me is that Chaos got really hot towards the end of the season. They rattled off at least 10 straight wins to get to that 22-2 league-winning record.
They had put a strong run on at the end. Of course, they didn't lose many games. But I believe that the Beavers beat the Low Draft Picks maybe a month ago or something, 15-14 in a great game, which tied them with Chaos. And then Chaos came back, I think, the week after and beat them head-to-head. So that gave them a one-game advantage. But, yeah, good women's league. We got 10 teams. We had a couple weird things happen, a storm that never really happened that looked like it was going to. Mm-hmm. And then that smoke from Canada, we had to cancel one night. But at any rate, I'd like to shout out to the Woodchucks. They're a decent team. I don't have their record in front of me, Chris. Maybe you do, but...
Yeah, they were 13-11. Pretty sure. Pretty good. That was fourth place.
Yeah, yep. And I think Jess Wickland plays on that team, and Christina, of course, C, and nice group of gals. But at any rate, Misfits had a soft spot through the season, but they're getting it together now. They played well the last couple nights of the league, and they are wound up tight for the state TOC this weekend. But that Chaos team, Dr. V, is a team that you got to be reckoned with. I mean, they've got some different pieces and different spots, and the thing that they play with is intensity, and they're smart. They've assembled, you know, some veteran leadership and some youngsters, but it's the kind of team, when you talk about a tournament like this, They've got the killer instinct in their eye. I mean, they're ready to play. So that's a cool team. And the Misfits, like I say, are probably on the uprise right now as far as intensity. They are taking advantage of the pickup rule. I think they have Kelly Pettersson, who shortly, within a week or two, will be marrying...
2 weeks,
Anthony Lesterdome. Okay, mm-hmm. I got it finally.
I just learned that myself last week.
Yep.
Lesterdome.
Yep. And Mary Klimek, they picked her up. So, and anytime your maiden name is Porta, you've got some athletic ability. And Mary and Kelly are great gals, so they'll fit in great with that team. And you know, they've always had Amy Olsen. I love those girls, all of them. Most of them play on my correct team, but Amy Olsen has been known as one of the best left fielders for several years. They've got some team speed. They're just a good group of girls. So, at any rate, that was a fun women's league, and hopefully it stays at 10 or maybe even gets to be a little more. I do want to give a shout-out to PC Screwballs, Electric Slide, and Brownberry, the three new teams. Appreciate them playing this year. That they came from two of them came from a league that actually folded last year or so. Thank you for those gals jumping into a tough, tough league. A lot of good players around in this league. Nicole Lenzen, she's ran the Misfits for several years. She's a great teammate and a great player. I mean, just always willing to get involved in whatever's going on in the softball world. Daughter Izzy, I have a ball on my mantle in that office that I keep looking at every once in a while, but I think it was the TOC in 2016. I was coming out of the office and I heard a bunch of people screaming, and I looked out at that field on field four, and here Izzy was running the bases, and everybody, it was a big crowd, and everybody was cheering because she had hit one out of the park, and she signed the ball for me. I think it was, you know, August 18th of 2016. She was probably, I don't know, 16, 17 years old, but she's got that lens and swing and secret
That's
swing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of impact players, in my opinion, Ashley Osmus from the Beavers has become quite a player. She's a great hitter, and she's the type of person that I like, because she'll call me out of the blue maybe once every couple of weeks and ask me about a schedule or a rule or so, and that's because she wants to know, or she's caught something that I've messed up, you know. So she's in tune with everything. You know, Haley Carrolls from the Jailbirds is a tremendous player. Like I say, just a lot of really good talent. You have Kelsey McFarlane. Everybody was after her a couple, 3 years ago when she moved to town. But she was true to her friend, Megan Karlovitz, who's teachers up at Bram, and she gave her her word she'd play. And so the Screwballs actually were 12-12 this year. And Kelsey's a phenomenal player, and On a previous podcast, we talked about her career at Iowa State, and not that there aren't many, many good ball players out there, but if you want to learn how to hit, if you're a lefty, just watch Kelsey a couple times. She's got it down to a science. I mean, it's kind of like Joe Mauer. If you watch them, they do the same exact thing every time they go up to the plate. I've always said that about Lazy. Watch what he does. If you're a youngster, watch what he does. He goes up to the plate. It's the same routine. Couple of little short swings. Get your feet set. Get your body calm, and you are ready. Kaylin from Chaos.
Yeah, Kaylin Bowen. I was going to mention her as well.
Yeah, she, I believe when she was 18... not too long ago, she showed up with the Chaos girls, And I think she hit one or two out. So there's more, as you know, to softball than hitting the ball out of the park. But there's some people that can do it. And it's cool.
All right, that brings us to the men's league. So the summer men's league was a little different than years past in that we had not just the regular season, but then we had a little tournament at the end with Tier 1 and Tier 2. So, Duke, I'll kick it over to you to kind of break that down.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Doc. S&I Drywall, which could be called Aaron's team this year, or the slash the Drillers, won the league at 25-1. Got a lot of veteran leadership on that team. Pizza Pub's got a strong team. They finished 24-2. Those guys are good, really good. And anytime you've got Tristan Zimprek and Cody Kelson and a plethora of good ball players, you're gonna finish 24-2 or 26-0. Lost Mule is still Lost Mule. Any team with Brent Berman is gonna be around. 22-4. Mortal Insulation was right up there, 18-8. I call them the sneakiest team in the state. They know how to play. Unbound Construction had a good year. And then, Dr. V, there was three, four teams that were right in the middle. Apex, Sandlot, CBD Joint, Studweiser's. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody.
Twisted Pandas were right there.
Yep.
And a quick shout out to Twisted Pandas. I think we had mentioned this on the first episode, but it got cut out just due to time. But I know the season's over, but I just want to say shout out to Twisted Pandas, because they have the best uniforms in the league. And I love the rebrand that they did. I believe they were Scared Hitless before. And Twisted Pandas is a great name. The uniforms are great. I'm here for it. So good luck to those guys. That's awesome.
Oh, you bet. I was going to mention that, you know, there's a lot of cool uniforms out there nowadays, but that, whatever they got in there, kind of a silver blue and Twisted Pandas, those are the coolest uniforms around.
No doubt.
Personally, my second cousin, Jordan Rapp, is kind of in charge of that team, and he's the nicest kid in the world. And all those guys are good kids. Jeremy Clark, Ryan Ward, just a good bunch of guys. So
yeah, they seem really nice. I actually don't know any of them too well, other than acquaintances, but they seem very nice. I've watched a lot of their games. They seem like very good sports, and I'm a little partial because I do cybersecurity during the day, and my hacking team at work, we call ourselves the Trash Pandas.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's
so
right.
We got to root for the Twisted Pandas, you know. So
you bet. You know, I was watching I umpired Apex the other night. That team is sneaky good, too. I mean, I've known Cordy Orne for quite a while. Man, he's become a good hitter. And they got a half a dozen of those guys that are good hitters. You know, Ben Schwartz kind of runs that team, and they're ballers. They really are. Sandlot, led by Jake Schneider. They're in the TOC as well. That's a nice team. I mentioned Immortal Insulation. Sponsor there is Matt Lamb. And anytime Eric Shadeen's around, him and his brother Matt, they're going to be in the game. They'll be in the ball game. But at any rate, moving on, we had the end of the year tourney. We had to kind of wait to get those seeds, and then it rained. But we got her done.
I think the tournament was a pretty big success. I think the players really liked it. So S&I Drywall got first, Pizza Pub second, Unbound Construction third in Tier 1. And then Tier 2, we had Apex winning that. CBD Joint got second, and New Legacy third. So congratulations to all those teams.
Cody Kelso was named League MVP out of about 220 guys.
That's impressive.
That is, when you think about it.
Look, everyone knows Cody's a great player, but there's a lot of great players in our league. And it sounded like the voting was pretty clear cut that he was the MVP. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep, it was correct. It was, we asked for votes from team managers, and then we our staff and umpires threw in the rest. And, you know, when Cody first moved here, of course, I'm going to research him, you know. I'm going to find out where this guy played.
Who is this guy, right?
Yeah, who is this guy, too? But anyways, he played football at Rogers, and he was a good, good football player down there. And probably went on to, I think it was Northwestern College in Roseville.
Yep.
But he's, you know, he's a hockey coach in Cambridge. He's a football coach. He's a baseball coach. And I know different parents that know him as a coach, and they just love what he does for the kids. It's kind of like he's their friend. And then he'll throw in a good tip once in a while, if you know what I mean. But
for sure. And I don't know Cody too well, but I echo what you're saying. I know some players that play for him, and they all love him.
Yep. He's a strong, strong guy. If you ever look at his legs, there's a lot of power that's derived from those legs. You know, that they say that your legs are a big part of your swing because it's your base.
Yeah. Hey, time out, Duke. I got to let everyone know there's a Cody Kelsa doppelganger out there. I told him this a few weeks ago, but my son and some other of his friends were playing in the church state tournament down in Shakopee a month ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
One of the teams, I'm like, what the heck, is Cody Kelsa out here? It wasn't him, but I'm telling you, he looked just like him. The same hair, the same mustache. I don't know if he always has the mustache or not, but he had that mustache going at the time. The same build, and he hit home runs. But it wasn't him. But I'm telling you, there's a doppelganger out there somewhere in the metro area, so be on the lookout.
You know something, Chris? I honestly think I know who that is. I think
Are you serious?
He played in the Corec State Tournament last year. I think he's from out in that western part of the cities.
Yeah, hey, Duke, his name is also Cody, and I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. It's like Twilight Zone stuff here.
Yeah. That's cool. But I'm almost positive he's the same guy. Now, this guy was taller than Cody, but he was the same build.
Okay.
I said, you had to play football somewhere. And he says, St. Cloud, before they cut the program. But I'm gonna dig deeper, find out who that was, because that is a twin.
I hope you do, because I wanted to show it to him, because I'm serious. It's his doppelganger. I don't think he'd believe me, because, you know, we don't really know each other, but I wouldn't lie to anybody. It's his doppelganger, I promise you.
Where did you get that term, Dr. V? That must be a medical term, because I've never
heard. Oh, yeah, I doctor term when I was in college. Yeah, I was in one of the medical dictionaries, yeah.
Okay, moving on here a little bit, I want to give a shout-out. I think this is extremely important, North Branch Chevrolet. I had a connection with the young guy that came in and wanted to play in the league, and I said, that's great, Jimmy. They're all 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. I said, it's a tough league. But yes, you're more than welcome. And his parents work for us at North Branch Chevrolet, and my boss gave him a little sponsorship and stuff. And, they did not win a game in the league, but, we play a 26 game schedule in a very tough league. And, we never once had to answer the phone at 3 o'clock on Thursday and have them say they're not coming. They kept coming. They got their team there. They never forfeited. That's what it's all about. And they won that team sportsmanship award. And as I've always said, winning isn't everything. Striving to win is good. But if you walk into your business or a business from a company that gave you a little bit of money so you could play in league or a tournament, and you hand them that sportsmanship award, they will be tickled to death, I guarantee it.
100%.
Absolutely.
We can have just quick real talk here. It is so impressive to me that they showed up for every game and every game in the tournament, and they didn't win any games. And no. The reason that's so important is because having leagues, having tournaments, we depend on each other. So if I'm to play another team and they don't show up, guess what? I don't have a game. It messes up
correct.
The schedule. It messes up everything. We're so codependent, for lack of a better term, on each other to have these leagues. So it does not go unnoticed what they did. So I think that sportsmanship is 100% well-deserved. I hope they stick with it. And I hope, not that this is a problem with other teams, but I just hope everyone appreciates what they did because it's so important. We can't have these leagues if we don't all commit to showing up for our games. It's so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 110%.
As you said, Cody won MVP. I'm just kind of curious, who else were top vote getters?
The young guy that plays for New Legacy, I can never pronounce his last name, Jake...
Movid. So it's
Movid.
Here's the tip I learned from him and his girlfriend. It's COVID with an M.
Okay.
So Movid.
All right. I will remember that. That kid's got some potential, and that whole team does, those youngsters on there. At any rate, Jake got a few votes. Seth Leaf had a few votes. Aaron Schumacher had a few votes. Joey Jones, Anthony Leschardone had some votes. And I don't have it right in front of me, but that's just to name a few, Dr. V.
Okay, yeah, that's a... impressive list. So congrats to all those guys. I mean, getting votes in a league of this caliber with amongst 220 players, that's an accomplishment. So congratulations to everyone there.
You bet. You bet. All right. Moving on to the Masters 35. JL Schweeder's won the league 14-4. Chico's Mule was runner up, and that is exactly how the league tournament finished. And that is exactly how the state tournament finished.
Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, usually that tournament, the state tournament's running 8 to 10 teams, but I think for some reason there was too much going on. So it was a small tournament. But like I said about Duck Tech Budweiser today with down in Treasure Island with 7 teams, and you referenced it too a little bit ago, you still got to show up. You got to bring your glove. You got to bring your shoes, and we can't play without other teams, so have fun.
Yeah, and just want to give a shout-out to the Newmarket Maulers. Just got to say, they have the best team name in the league.
Yep.
If you're young and haven't watched Married with Children, you need to find that and watch it. And then shout-out to Tags. I saw him rocking an Al Bundy jersey at I think it was the tournament, and that was awesome. So... MVP in my mind for that.
Absolutely. Married with Children, is that where that NMM came from?
Yeah, it was the softball team, Newmarket Maulers, that Al Bundy and those guys were on. So.
Oh, boy, I gotta get with the times. I thought somebody worked at a gas station over in Foley or something. That's where the name came from.
Oh, gosh. We got to talk offline, Duke. We'll get you schooled on Married with Children.
Okay. Actually, I think there's a town down by Lakeville called Newmarket.
Yep. So yeah, there is and actually I think Newmarket and Elko merged. I want to say it's called Newmarket Elko or vice versa. Now I had a client down there. I used to drive down there, so it was really confusing with Google Maps. But at any rate, shout out to them. Great name. Love it.
You bet. Yep. And I thought about something, Dr. V. At one of these episodes, we're going to have to talk about softball team names because it is funny, in my opinion.
Yeah,
you've got
sure.
Every type of animal, beavers, woodchucks, everything else. But
that'd be a good winter episode. We'll get around to that.
Sounds good. Okay. As you know, the Correct League starts this Thursday. That's a kickoff to the TOC. Keep in mind... that when we get a liquor license, we need to get it for 4 days. We pay insurance for 4 days, and the license is for 4 days, so you can't bring anything in Thursday night. That's a 16-team league, and looking at some of the rosters and stuff, not that I have full rosters yet, but just talking to people, that's going to be a good league. We got some new teams. That's a blast. That's... you know, I think you know that it seems like in recent years, early fall has been nice quite in recent years, even into October. We hope it's that way. And the men's fall starts the following Wednesday. That's going to be 12 teams on Wednesday nights. At any rate, those schedules are almost done. I got the softballs, about 40 dozen softballs for the teams. They came in today, so if you can catch me out there, feel free to come out and get your softballs so we get that out of the way, because Thursday is going to be really, really busy. Anyways, those leagues are kicking off, and state tournaments are in Sauk Rapids. I think the last weekend for the Corec, I'm sorry, not the last weekend, it's like the 22nd, and also the men's are the week after that. So we'll no doubt have, we'll send a few teams over there.
Awesome. Yeah, I got the dates in front of me. So the Corec tournament is September 23rd and 24th. And the men's is September 30th through October 1st. All right, so coming up this weekend, we have the Tournament of Champions in the State North American Championships. These are going to be held here in Cambridge, August 18th through 20th. And Duke is going to let you know everything you need to know about this. Take it away, Duke.
So we are excited for this tournament. The original thought process behind this was to have a local tournament that you could call a national tournament, whether that be a Northern National or for a few years there, we had nobody from out of state. Now we're starting to draw from out of state a little bit. But I think right now as we speak, I think we're at 40 teams. And I think that's 27 men and 13 women. This manager's party meeting, we know that some teams aren't going to be able to play till Saturday morning. There's going to be a bunch of games Friday night. But that is at 5 o'clock at the Cambridge Bar and Grill out back. And we're going to give away a bat. And I think the MSF's going to give away a dozen softballs. And we got some other stuff there. There might be a trivia question or two, but I've always arranged that we have $300-400 worth of appetizers there. So you're on your own as far as drinks, but we're gonna get you some appetizers. We're gonna talk about some rules. I'm gonna mention a couple right now. And that is, remember now, this is a postseason tournament. So some of these tournaments, you can bat your roster. You can't do that in this tournament. You're going to bat 11. So you've got a EH that can be interchanged on defense as you want. But if you got 13 players or 14, you're going to have to make an actual substitution. And that substitution will be people that are on your scorecard. Talking to UIC Paul Goebel, he's got a good crew of solid umpires set up. But to expedite the starting of the games, you need to be prepared, the manager does, a half an hour prior to your game, or maybe even up to 45 minutes, to take the coin flip and do the meeting off of the field. So when that game is done and the grounds crew touches up the field, you'll be ready to take the field and get the game rolling. So as a lot of people do, I'm watching the weather right now. There's not much we can do with it. I'm sure you are too, Dr. V. It looks decent towards the end of the week. As we know, that can change. We hope we don't have any intermittent rain issues or thunder and lightning. But if we did, we need to be efficient with our time. Craig Alstrom and his family will do a superb job on the ball fields. If they can't groom the whole field, they will at least get the box and around the bases and so on. Bring who you bring. And that's your team. You can only play on one team. Try to have the same jerseys. We don't expect you to go out and get new jerseys because there's not enough time, and we don't want another expense for you. But in other words, if you're a USA team or U trip, at least have the identical shirt color, you know, as in blue or red. And they need to be numerals on them and no matching numbers. You can't have two number 13s. So the MSF teams, they should have full uniforms other than their pickup players. And if you're a pickup player, you wear your team jersey. So that's legal. As far as the softballs go, we're going to give you six softballs. We'll have more for sale there if you want more, but it's going to be the AD Star, and it's going to be a synthetic ball. Somebody may try to throw in a off-brand. Not that Dudley doesn't make a good ball, but that is probably appealable if you do that, if the opposing team sees that. We are going to use the national bat standard as far as non-approved bats. Obviously, they can't be dented or have a burr on them or too much of the sticky all the way up the barrel, that kind of thing. We don't seem to see any equipment issues like we used to, but you know what we're doing for softballs. You know what we're doing for bats now. And hopefully there's no issues there. A little housekeeping rule. Ejections. That's not a good deal. You know, if the Effenheimer comes out at the umpire or loud enough where people can hear it, that's going to be an ejection, and you can't hang around the dugout. You got to leave the area. The exact consequence will be in the tournament rules when you get them in the middle of the week. One thing I've always thought, if you're going to wear a cap, a visor, make sure that the bill is forward. Look like a ball player. The opening ceremonies on Friday night. So basically about 5:30, 5:35, we will have given away a bat and some other stuff. Then it's back out to the ballpark. Check in with myself or Silver's wife. I can't ever remember her first name. I mean, does anybody even know what it is, Dr. V?
Not only do I not know what her first name is, I don't know what Silver's first name is. I'm sure other people do, but I don't, so I apologize.
Yeah, I'm normally pretty good with names, but Silver's wife, I mean, she's a great gal.
She's nice. Yeah, I just don't remember her name, but I'm pretty sure she has a jersey that says Silver's wife on it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's what's burned into my mind. So, yeah, our apologies.
Yep, we'll go with that. So she will be at her best. When you check in, we're going to want to talk to you about a couple of brief park rules and so on. At that time, you'll get your swag bag we'll have six softballs in it for men's and women's teams. It'll have a bunch of other interesting stuff like the tournament program. Our good friend Lana Oldroyd has put a lot of time in making bracelets for all the women's teams, you know, 8 to 10 of them in a bag. She takes pride in that, and they're cool. So like I've always said, if you could just kind of buy into a few things that we do that are a little bit different. I just think it's just be part of something great because, you know, if we have good weather and with all the stuff going on, all tournament teams, banners, photos, just competitive games, a lot of different teams, different classes, be part of something great. So at any rate, in the 6:30 neighborhood, we'll announce some teams, and you'll line up on the first base or third base side. Even if you've only got one or two there, just come out and represent your team. We'll give a shout-out to the umpires. They'll walk on the field. We'll have the Cambridge American Legion there on Friday for the color guard, and Ashley Uttermall is our national anthem singer, and she's good. As far as the entertainment, we'll have DJ Steve-O Thursday night of the Fall Correct League, 16 teams, and he will also be around on Saturday. On Friday and Sunday, DJ Emmett Peterson will be in the house. He's been there before. He has the system where you can request a song from your phone, and he will also partake in the opening ceremonies with the national anthem, the team introductions, umpire introductions, color guard, and the first pitch ceremony, which is going to be done by our future members of the Dalbo Area Ministerial Softball League youth teams. So DJ Emmett will kick it off. We are going to be giving away stuff. There's some purchase necessary either at the beer garden or if you're going to buy something at the concession stand, you'll sign your name to a ticket. There's a lot of neat stuff. I do have a nice Major League Baseball Joe Mauer signed, and it's got a quote on there for the Tournament of Champions in 2023. So that's going to be given away along with some bats, some bat bags, a beanbag set, all kinds of things. So as long as you're going to be there and either visit the beer garden or the concession stand, which will have a lot of variety, you may as well sign your name to a ticket and walk away with a bat or something likewise.
All right. So what are some of the things, if we got some visitors participating in the tournament that are coming from out of town, maybe not familiar with Sandquist or the area, what are some of the important things that they should know?
Okay. Excellent. A couple things up front here. Become a member on Cambridge Isani Softball Facebook. I'll approve you. That's where there's going to be some notices and pre-tournament pitchers and things like that. The physical address is 34264 Naples Street Northeast, Cambridge, Minnesota. It's about a mile out of a town that's booming, so lots going on in this town. It's about 10,000 people. Easy to find. The lodging situation has been a little bit of a thorn in our side, but maybe it's only because these brides are blocking rooms in up to 2 years in advance. So everything is on our website, which is cisoftball.com, and go to the menu up there. You will see the lodging. For you campers, there is a very nice campground that's only about a mile away from the ballpark, and that is Isani County Fairgrounds. My good friend, ex-sheriff Ken Harder, is in charge. 763-689-2555. And I believe they have a dumping station there. They also have, I think they have showers there too, and it's relatively inexpensive. No parking on the grass, please. We have three parking lots that will hold in the neighborhood of 600 vehicles. During the Cambridge Classic, Chris, there is where the farm used to be there. There's a special area for umpires and concession workers and stuff that became flooded with cars driving off the road through the ditch to get there. Please, please don't do that. Getting back to some amenities in the park, we have a great concession stand. Yourself, your brother-in-law, I know you guys got some things planned. As in breakfast sandwiches, and you guys do a wonderful job and take it very seriously. So once again, if you are able to support us, we appreciate it. If you do bring in the Golden Arches or other national franchises, please throw it away when you're done. That's all we ask. On the beer sales, we have our new card machine, but we will also have an ATM there. We'll have most likely Busch Light. We will have Arnold Palmer's, Seltzer's. The reason that you can't bring anything in is that that is exactly what the liquor license says. And don't doubt that they might pop in and check us. They don't allow that you sit out in the parking lot and drink beer either, because that is outside the confines of our liquor license and against the rules. The football fields to the north of fields 1 and 5, there's plenty of space for pre-game hitting out there. That's a good spot, as a matter of fact.
All right, so one of the important things about TOC is the sponsors. It really couldn't be possible without them, so we'd like to thank our different sponsors here, so I'll kick it over to you, Duke, for that.
Very good. I'm going to whip through this a little bit, but my own employment, North Branch Chevrolet, is a champion sponsor. Thank you to Brian for doing that. DW Companies, Katie and Steve Stranlin, they are a champion sponsor. Cambridge Bar and Grill, Sean Okerlin and Jody. We've done the pre-tournament manager meeting there. That'll be 5 o'clock Friday, by the way. Maple Ridge, Septic, Rick Weller has been very good to us. He's a champion sponsor. Bernard's Pepsi is a triple sponsor. That's where we get all of our Pepsi products. Our friend Lauren, Peggy, and Ryan Davis from Diversified Bronze is a home run sponsor. Ryan actually plays for our favorite uniforms in the softball world, the Twisted Pandas.
All right.
Yep. Pam and Lawrence Sickink from Dean's Heating and Air Conditioning, they've been great. And I've noticed, you know, whether it's the rodeo or a little girls' beauty pageant or whatever it is, they're heavily involved in the community. Lauren played a lot of softball years ago with a team called the Bradford Connection, and he has carried on his support. So thank you, Pam and Lauren. Jeff Clatt at the Pizza Pub in Cambridge, wonderful pizza and other menu items. Tanya from TNC Self-Serve in Bradford owns a little convenience store out there with the goodest gas in town. So those are the major sponsors as of right now. There might be a couple more. As I said, folks, before, it looks to me like a 40-team tournament. At any rate, we got some interesting teams. We got some good, good teams. We have teams from all levels. And the neat thing about it is there's going to be some teams that you haven't seen before. And I'm just going to go through the list here a little bit. In the women's division, a team that I've kind of been watching for a couple, 3 years here that's one of the better teams in the Midwest is On Point out of Urbandale, Iowa. I talked to Sammy Goebel, one of the coaches tonight, and, you know, they've been good for a couple of years here. They finished fourth in the women's ASA Open a couple of years ago, I believe. They've had some top finishes in the GSL and U-Trip. I remember a gal, it's Gino Buck's daughter, Ty's sister, Leticia Buck, plays for them. I think she was playing third base for him down at the Firemen's this year. Okay. She was a phenomenal basketball player, just like her siblings and dad and the whole family have been great athletes. But she played basketball at UW Green Bay out of Red Wing, and then she went to New Mexico. And this girl is, she's a good athlete, very good athlete. Allie Thunstrom, I think from probably that Oakdale, North St. Paul area. As far as I know, she has the single season scoring record in the Women's Professional Hockey League when she played for the Minnesota Whitecaps. So she's on the squad. Sammy herself went to college at Quincy College in Illinois. I think they have some athletes. I've seen them play a couple times. Looks like a good, solid team. I call the nicest girl in softball, Ashley Anderson from the Minnesota Lunatics. Their squad is in it. The second nicest person in softball, Frank Jersey, the coach of the Minnesota Wreckers. A lot of character with that guy, and that team is great to have around. Their pitcher, Dr. V, is very interesting. I've umpired her a couple of times. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do anything illegal, but you know, you're supposed to pause for 1 second before you deliver a pitch. She's a quick worker out there. I don't believe that she ever goes quicker than 1 second, but it's right there. So if you're a batter, you better be ready. She's very good. I think her name is Laura. I can't remember her last name offhand, but that's a nice team. Extreme Graphics is in. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, pretty sure that they had gotten second at the Classic this year.
Yep.
The Minnesota Wreckers.
Yes. I talked to Frank down at the Bloomington Firemen's, and they had a monkey on their back. They got second place in a handful of tournaments, and they won that one down there, so they were happy about that.
Mm-hmm, I bet.
Yep. Tuma's Bevers out of New Prague. That's a team that used to come up for state tournaments. From our league, Dr. V, Chaos, what did we say their record was, 22-4?
22-2.
Yeah, 22-2. Rush City Girls primarily. That team is a good squad. They've got some interesting pieces on that team. They've got some power. They've got some quickness. They play good defense, and they're tenacious. The Misfits out of Cambridge, Nicole Lenson and her crew, and I talked about the pickups, I believe, before, Kelly and Mary Klimek. So those are our two local league teams that we'll be playing. Katie Maysog's Tree Frogs out of Little Falls, that will be a good squad. Minnesota Inferno is always competitive. Northern Elite out of Duluth, that's a good squad. I think that Mikey's out of Willow River, Moose Lake area is in it. They've been around forever. Cornerstone from the Stacy Chisago League and the Soda Girls are in. I think they finished first at Huff and Puff in Stillwater and Lake Elmo. I guess that term's played in about five different cities, but they won one of the divisions today. So women's is going to be very interesting. That'll be some good ball. Moving on to the men's. I think it's at 27 teams. It may change tomorrow. It looks like some very good teams, some middle-of-the-road teams. It's going to be a good tournament. Deck Tech got a Little Falls. Juice's Smiles for Jake team. They've always come to the TOC. It's always great to have them around. Team Stoop, they won the Classic. That's a good team. Stagecoach, very tough team. Wade Whalen does a nice job with that team. St. Cloud Subaru, Craig Zilka and the crew, that's a nice team as well. Some of the local teams, we've got about seven or eight teams. And one is Pizza Pub, Twisted Pandas, Lost Mule, Sandlot, Apex, Immortal, CBD Joint, Studweiser's New Legacy, which is an up-and-coming team with a lot of speed. It's funny that Sandlot, Apex, and Immortal, CBD Joint, and Studweiser's all kind of had the similar record kind of in the middle of the league, but any of those teams are dangerous at any given time. Riverland Bank out of Shakopee. I don't need to go down the whole list, but we got a couple Brainerd teams. We got a team from Moose Lake, a team from Rochester, a team from Zimmerman. We have The Miners, they're from like Hanover area, I think. Justin Smith's TMNT. Unique Movers out of Sauk Rapids. Another Brainerd team. So that's my count there, 27 teams. And we're working on a structure that I believe is going to be a true split. That's what we've been striving for through the last couple of years here. But we will try to make it as fair as we can, three-game guarantee. Like I say, bring your bat and glove, buy into our rules a little bit, and at the end of the day, Sunday, you may have some travel expense money, banner, pitchers, plaques, trophies. I think we're in for a great tournament, Chris.
For sure. I'm looking forward to it. And as you were listing off all the team names, there's a few that I recognize from the Classic, or I'm sorry, the TOC last year that I haven't seen since. Like the Miners is one that comes to mind. And then you've got Smiles for Jake. And then, as you mentioned, some heavy hitters that were here for the Classic earlier this year, like Stoops. So it'd be kind of cool to see how they match up.
Yeah, that Stoop is an interesting team. That's a solid team. That's all about team. And they've got a couple, three, four assistants, and I've seen them at different tournaments. These guys all have a certain job that they take care of. I like what they do. I really do. St. Cloud Subaru is going to be a good squad. Pizza Pub is a very good squad. I know we mentioned some of these names, but it'll be interesting. It'll be good. I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it, and I know you are too, and our staff is in place, and things are starting to come together. So our phone lines are always open. You can always text me. You can message me. But stay in tune on that Cambridge Isani Softball Facebook page. Stay in tune with our website, cisoftball.com. And try to get there a little early if you can on Friday if you're able. And you know how that goes. We don't want to wait till 5 minutes before game time or before the opening ceremonies. That's about all I have for right now.
All right. Well, that sounds great, Duke. Thanks for the breakdown and the preview. We really appreciate it. And look forward to seeing everyone at the ballpark this weekend and seeing you as well. Have a good one.
Thank you, Dr. V.